Let us pray. God who speaks, your law is perfect, reviving the soul. Your commandment is clear, enlightening the eyes. May your spirit illumine this word that our eyes may be opened and our souls revived. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The first scripture reading comes from the book of Exodus, chapter 20, verses 1 and 2 and 12 through 17. Then God spoke all these words, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. Honor your father and your mother, so that your days may be long in the lands that the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not cover your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor.
Our gospel reading this morning is from the gospel according to Matthew. If you've been in worship the last couple Sundays, this may seem familiar. That's okay. It's that important. When the Pharisees heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together, and one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question to test him. Teacher, which commandment in the law is the greatest? He said to him, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. This is the greatest and first commandment. And a second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. This is the word of God. For the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
The Hebrew people have just come out of Egypt. They had been there long enough that all of them had been born there. Not one of them remembered a time before they were slaves in Egypt. As slaves, they lived their lives in the way that their masters ordered. Now God has made them free. Now what? They don't know how to be in community with each other. Anyone who's watched an elementary school playground, particularly when the kids believe there are no adults around, can tell you that human beings are not born knowing how to deal with each other. God loves these people, so God gives them instructions for living. God does not give them suggestions. God gives them commandments for all of God's people, from the child to the elderly, from the king in his palace to the beggar in the ditch. We spoke about the first four commandments last week. They are all about centering our lives on God. The next six are all about how we live with each other. God is not a fan of the Lord of the Flies. God wants to see human beings living together in peace and harmony. So God gave us these commandments to help us live that way. I'll touch on the last commandment first, because it gets at the core here. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, or male or female slave, or ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. It's easier to talk about the commandments that describe doing things. I mean, little child, did you shoplift this pack of bubble gum or did you pay for it? That's a pretty simple question with a yes or no, black or white answer. But this commandment is about wanting to take something away from someone else. It's about what's in your heart. But the truth is, so are they all. Honor your father and mother, so that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. This is not just an authoritarian rule created by gray-haired people to make sure that we listen to gray-haired people. I don't have to tell this crowd that gray hair often brings experience with it, and hopefully the ability to learn from that experience. God wants all of God's people to live together in harmony, with the energy of youth and the wisdom of age being brought together, not fighting against each other. Honoring those older than ourselves and our parents in particular helps create that kind of harmony. God wants us all to have a future together. You shall not murder. At first glance, this is simple. I've never directly and intentionally been the cause of anyone's death. Check. Next commandment, right? Jesus says not so fast. Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, the very core of Christian teaching, that you've heard that it was said to those of ancient times, you shall not murder, and whoever murders shall be liable to judgment. But I say to you that if you are angry with a brother or sister, you will be liable to judgment. We've all heard the saying, if looks could kill. I think we've all been there when that's happened. Jesus teaches us that wanting to kill someone, being that angry, is sin. He goes on to say that if someone else is angry with you, even to put off making a sacrifice to God in order to go and be reconciled with that person. Jesus came down here to reconcile us to God, and Jesus wants us to be reconciled to each other. All of us. You shall not commit adultery. Again, at first glance, this is simple. It's two words in the original Hebrew. When you got married, you promised not to have sex with anyone else. It's also adultery if you're the one sleeping with someone who's married. This is a sin that, as they say, takes two to tango. But there is more to it than that. Some of you may recall a famous magazine interview with then-presidential candidate Jimmy Carter, in which he said that he had committed adultery in his heart. This made the general television news and garnered that one statement a much greater audience than the rest of the article got. Mr. Carter was not saying that he had ever cheated on his wife of many years, but he knows scripture better than perhaps the general American public does. Jesus said that everyone who looks at a woman with lust in his heart has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If any of us looks at another human being and sees just a body, then yes, we are sinning. We are reducing a person made in God's image to an object. Jesus goes on to suggest solutions, which, if you look at them, are all things to be done by the person who's experiencing desire. Many of the people following Jesus and listening to him preach were women. He had the opportunity to tell these women that men's desire was their fault, but that perverse idea did not even enter the conversation. He told men, and by extension, anyone who feels desire, that restraining their desire is their responsibility, no matter what anyone else says or does. We should all keep our promises, including but not limited to our marriage vows. And we should look at all our brothers and sisters as people made in God's amazing image. You shall not steal. Again, two words in the original. Very simple. Do not take something that rightfully belongs to someone else. The law expands on that, though. In one sentence, it says, you shall not oppress your neighbor or rob him. The wages of a hired man are not to remain with you all night until morning. In another, it says, If you take your neighbor's cloak in pawn, you shall restore it before the sun goes down. For it may be your neighbor's only clothing to use as cover. In what else shall that person sleep? Stealing is not limited to material objects. We are not permitted to take the dignity of another human being. Taking the dignity of another human being includes objectifying them. It includes reducing them to poverty. It includes bearing false witness against them. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. This is where gossip comes in, folks. It doesn't matter whether you're the one who originally made up the story or not, whether you're just repeating what you heard. Once upon a time, an old man did not like the young man who was dating his granddaughter. So he told his friends that the young man was a thief. The young man was arrested, spent weeks in jail. He lost his job and his relationship with the old man's granddaughter. Upon his release, the young man sued the old man. The old man told the court exactly what he had done. He said, "They were just words, just comments. I didn't harm the young man. Other people did that. The police, his employer." The judge said, "All right, I will pass sentence tomorrow. But today, before you leave this court, write down everything you said about the young man. Then cut up the paper into small pieces. On the way home, throw those pieces of paper out the window of your car, one by one. And I'll see you tomorrow." The next morning, the judge said to the old man, "Bring me all the pieces of paper with those things you said, and I will pass sentence." The old man objected, "Your Honor, that's impossible. The wind has spread them all over. Nobody can know where they went." The judge nodded slowly. "Exactly. Words and comments can destroy a person's reputation to such an extent that it cannot be fixed. You have stolen something priceless from this young man." And she passed judgment accordingly. When we tell negative stories about other people, we run the risk of doing that to them. Our words can never be taken back from everywhere that they've gone. Modern technology has made this worse, not better. As our words and those of other people whom we don't even know who they really are can fly around the world in an instant. All these commands are about loving our neighbors, which means all the human beings around us. If we love our neighbors, we won't do these things. Wow. When you understand them properly, that is quite the list of instructions, isn't it? I don't think any of us manage to follow all of them all the time. So, what do we do? First, we need to understand that these commandments are wise instructions from a parent who loves us. They are not arbitrary or capricious. They are intended for what is best for us. God loves us and wants us to live lives centered on God, and God wants us to be healthy and happy and to live good lives. Second, when we have failed to obey God's commands, I didn't say if, I said when, there is a proper response. Confess your sin to God. Admit it. Repent, which means turn your life around. Try not to do it again. If you have sinned against someone else, talk with them. Ask for forgiveness. Forgive other people who come to you. We talk about these things in the Lord's Prayer, which we say every Sunday. And then get up, dust yourself off, and try to do better next time. We'll never get it perfect. That's not something we are capable of doing. But God's amazing grace picks up the slack and allows us to go on, filled with as much of God's love as we are willing to show the people around us. Thanks be to God. Amen.